Sukkah Shigavah Lamal Mes Rama Psula, the first in the Mishnah. The Sukkah is too high. Tanakhama says Pasla, Bibi says Kasha. Din number two, too low. Shayna Gavoa, Asar Tvachim. Number three, doesn't have the number of walls. And Shalosh Stefanas. And finally, number four, Chamasa, Beruva Mitzilasa. It has insufficient shade. Insufficient schach cover is possible. So in yesterday's opening, in the mini shear, he had a chance to begin to peel apart Rashi's here, and let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. So again, Rashi says, Hamasa Ruba Mitzilasa is possible, more shade, more sun than shade. Rashi begins by saying, Hamuat Batel Barov. There's more sun, there's less shade, so that miut of shade is batel to the row of sun. Reu Kemi Sheino. So it's as though the miut of shade, the miut of schach, isn't even there at all. And then Rashi goes on to say, "Bal Shem Ha Schach Kriya Sukkah." After all, why is it called a sukkah in the first place? Sukkah means a schach item. They're even linguistically related. That's what sukkah means. The Chumash tells you have to have a sukkah. Means you have to have a schach thing. You saw the psukim in the Gemara later quotes psukim in Parshas Truma. The Parsha of Mitzvah Sukkah, as you saw, is in. Largely in Parshas Emor. Just to expand the drop, there's three major parshios, Hamoedim. Yom Tov mentioned numerous times in Chumash, but then three major treatments are in Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim, Parshas Emor, Parshas Pinchas, Parshas Re'eh. Rav touched on this briefly in one of the Yartzeit drashas, the different focus of each of those three parshios. Working backwards, Re'eh is primarily about Aliyah L'Regel, Shalosh Regalim. Pinchas, the Re'eh tends to be typically the laning for the end of Yontif, loosely speaking. Pinchas in Chumash Bamidbar is the focus on the Musafin primarily. That's always the maftir of every day of Yontif Chamoed. And coming back to where we are, Parshas Emor, Parshas Modim and Vayikra, the focus there is on Mitzvah Sayom. Not surprisingly, Sukkah, Lulav, get a lot of focus in the Torah's treatment of the Yontif of Sukkot in Parshas Emor. The Sukkot Teishu Shiva Asyamim, Kol Ezra Chishu Sukkot, Laman Yid Or Seichem, Ki Besukkot Or Shaftis Ben Yisrael. And you saw that there's a Gemara later quotes a Pasuk that does not appear in Emor, a Pasuk in Parshas Truma. The Torah is talking about the Aron. The covering of the Aron was called the Kapores, and what stand above the on the Kapores? The Kruvim. And what description does the Torah have about the Kruvim? So Chim b'chanfeim, they have wings, and the wings are so chichim. That's obviously that word. And Rashi there stresses that means that the wings aren't lying on the Kaporis, until the wings are raised above, there's a space above the lid, above the kaporis, that's covered over by the wings. It's Masuka, so their wings are raised and forward and giving shading, covering that space. So that's what a sukkah is. A sukkah means a davar ha sochich. Sukkah is a space that gets covered, that gets shaded. By shade, giver, by the schach. Rashi says, Gevaldik. Gevaldik, except, now let's do things in order. Yesterday we sort of jumped around a little bit, let's do things in order. Let's begin by taking a look at two Mishnahs and their Rashis. Yud Aleph, Yud Beis. And as we'll see, the Rashis and Yud Aleph set up a difficulty in the beginning of Rashi and Daf Beis. Rashi and Beis sets up a difficulty in the end of Rashi and Daf Beis. Mishnah we saw yesterday briefly, Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph, presents us with the three psulei schach. And if you have the hidla list, a gefen, the Mishnah says, you have the vines trellised growing over the space, and the schach as well, sikach al gaba, so you have the vine, live vines growing over the frame, the walls, as well as schach, I mean, as well as cut material, and it's possible, unless sikach habrimit. If there's more kosher schach than vines, so then that's okay. So what does Rashi say? Har b'mehen, if there's more kosher schach than pasul live vines, mevatlam barov. Ah, bitzel. Sounds familiar. We already came across bitzel in the Mishnah and Daf. On our Mishnah, Rashi and Daf Beis, and again, bitzel, gevaldik. So I have schach together with vines. The schach is cut, the vines or not. If it's mostly schach and a little bit of vines, more than 50% schach, batla barov. So you think we're in familiar territory. The problem is, there's an incredibly fundamental difference between the case of Bittul on Daf Yud Aleph and the case of Bittul on Daf Beis, which is, back half the room, you're sort of centrist here, yeah?
If you have physically more, and on Daf Beis it's whether the plane of the sukkah is covered 50% like shade and sun, which one is about the one row.
So what's the difference?
So on Yud Aleph, do you have physically, maybe by mass, do you have more kilograms of the kosher schach, and on Daf Beis, do you have more do you have more centimeter squared of shade versus sun?
You're talking about spatial versus mass. The truth is, it's an interesting point. The truth is, for Bittul in general, we look at neither at mass nor at the moles, but instead at volume. Every case of Bittul. In other words, if you have a piece of a dab of butter that falls into a pot of chicken soup, in that case, it's not enough to have a simple row of 51%. You need a 1-to-60 ratio. Details are not important right now. But the point is, even though butter is probably less massive, less dense than soup, you just look at volume. How many cubic centimeters of soup and how many cubic centimeters of butter? So I'm not sure necessarily. You are touching on the intangibility, which is an important point. And can someone generalize that?
Does that have to do with, you know, I guess if, like, vines and could be the same.
Okay. So you're onto something. Now, the truth is, normally, there are Tanner of Yehuda holds that min v'mino is not batel. You have a dam of this carbon, dam of that carbon. Yehuda thinks since they're both blood, there's a rule they're not batel. Why is a beautiful Ram, but not for now. But maybe you're touching on a practical aspect of the fact that vines and schach are sort of similar. And to clarify a little more, take a peek. You saw Rishonim had a lot to say about Bittul. You saw Tosfos, another Tosfos, and a Rashba, all courtesy of a footnote in Encyclopedia Talmudis. And then I came across Rashi and Chulim, Shepunim Ram Komus as well. It tells something very basic about Bittul. And what is that?
That if you can clearly...
Akiva.
Yeah. If there's a clear item or difference between two things that are not level, but if you can't know the difference, whether it be by taste or by sight, if there's no difference, then...
If it's distinguishable, right? That's a tosis, and if it's be'en. Be'en is a very important word. Be'en means that it's recognizable. It's not blended in. For instance, Tosfos and Menachos is talking about, you know, the Gemara and Beitza talks about, I have a mix of wheat and barley, so maybe they're batel. The wheat has whatever the context, the wheat has one status, the barley has another status, and they got mixed together, so maybe I should say there's bitel barov. The Tosfos points out, of course, what we're talking about is where there are wheat flour and barley flour, and the two tubs of powder got mixed together. You can't really pick out what's what. The Tosfos is obviously, if I have wheat kernels and barley kernels, Tosfos says, in Menachos, conveniently on the second page of the Maror Kamos booklet, Teida! When the Gemara Beitza says the blend of wheat and barley, whichever one is less than 50% is batel, dafka bekemach mairi. Mairi. Shem misarei. We're only talking about a case of it's flour. So they're really blended together. They're misarei. They're bitarovis. You can't distinguish one from the other. It's particles, powder. But the ikibriyasam, if they're still in their original state, meaning whole kernels, you and I might have a difficult time picking out wheat from barley because we're not that schooled in agriculture, but it does not take too much training to be able to tell the difference. So if you could see this is wheat and that's barley, or to give a more ready, relevant example, let's say I have a bowl of fruit and the apples are all kosher, the oranges are all treif, or treif for now. Let's say the oranges are all oranges of Eretz Yisrael didn't have Trumas and Meisers taken off yet. It's Shabbos, you can't do Trumas and Meisers. So I have apples, they're kosher. I have oranges that are treif. So let's say there are seven apples and two oranges. So would you say, just take any fruit and eat it because it's batel? No, why? Because you can tell the difference. Because it is what? Ban. And as Tosfos says in Menachos, and in Nazir, and the Rashba says in Beitza, and elsewhere, in the Mordechai. The whole idea of Bittul Barov, or Bittul Bashishim, begins with Taroves. Bittul means I have a blend, I have a Taroves, meaning it's Rov Mutter, Miyut Aser, and Ein HaIsser Nikar. I can't distinguish what's Aser, what's Mutter. So then it's all blended together. So then I say, look, I'll follow Bittul Barov. But if you can see what it is, it'll make it even more obvious. I have a box of three salamis in their wrappers. Two of them have an OU on them. The third one says boar's head. Boar's head is not kosher. All beef salami. Three whole beef salamis. Two are Romanian, and one is boar's head. So you say, close your eyes. Stick your hand in the box, take a salami, eat it. Of course not. Oh, I bought the barov. The answer is, it's not taroves. Bittul means the wrappers all got pulled off, and I have three identical looking salamis. I don't know which is which. Then we could talk about bittul barov. Because they're bitaroves. It's not, the miut is not nikar. The miut is not distinguishable. That's when you talk about bittul. One of the most basic things you can say about bittul is it has to be bitarovis. They have to actually be blended, mixed together. If the meat is nikar, that's not bittul. It's a joke, as a matter of fact. Now, Daf Yud Aleph is talking about what they got blended together. It's one big mess. Now, maybe I could start pulling it out, but right now, there's a big mush of greenery on my sukkah, some of which, if you trace it, is attached to the ground. Most of it, if you trace it, never attaches to the ground. Right, got cut. So then I could talk about bittul. Or, let's say, the sugya on... excuse me. It's a sugya on daf tes as well. On daf tes, Amud Beis, the Gemara talks about another such situation where I have a tree on top of the sukkah, and the Gemara says, look, if the tree is pretty thin and there aren't a lot of branches, and even though a tree is not kosher, why? Because it's attached to the ground. But if there's not that much to the tree, it's pretty thin, don't worry about it. Just follow this chach kasher. The Gemara says, really? Only if what? Only if chavatan. Bishe chavatan. Only if you rechoved it, which means only if you took the tree branches and mushed them down into the schach. So yeah, if it's mushed into the schach and I have one big mass of plant material on top of my sukkah and most of it is fine, a little bit of mixed in is still attached to the ground. So okay, then I could talk about essentially pitul. But if not, but if I have a sukkah here and I have a tree up above, there's no pitul. Question is, and it's not just the Tosfos and the Rashba. You saw it's Rashi also in Chulin. Rashi says if I have a bunch of different nerves from the animal, five of them are kosher and one of them is treif because Gidanasha. So Gemara says it, without getting into detail, the sugya, but live tol beruba. Gemara in Chulin says it ought to be batal berov. I have five kosher nerves and one treif for one. It ought to be batal berov. And Rashi says, if it's not nikar, if I can't tell from the shape which is which, because if you can tell which, it's not taroves. Taroves means not just that one is rov, the other one is miut, but that they're not recognizable. It's eino nikar. It's not the end. Now, so that's works well with Rashi on the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph. And by contrast, does not work at all with which Rashi?
Rashi Beis
Rav. Rashi Beis Rav. Batel Barov, Chamatz El, really? What type of bitl? It's apples and oranges. It's not like I can't tell what's what. There's no blend. You look up, you see there there's schach, and there's open space. Or look at the ground. Here there's shade, and here there's sunlight. Whether you look up or down, nothing's blended together. Meila on Daf Yud Aleph and on Daf Tes. I have this Pasul Sach and the Kashrus Sach all mushed together. Okay, so then we could begin to talk about Bittul. Because it's not Nikar, it's all Murav. What type of Taroves? Bittul, what Taroves? Sach and space? Taroves? That's eminently identifiable. Arguably more identifiable even than apple versus an orange. Or a salami with an OU wrapper versus salami with a boar's head wrapper is here there's schach and here there's nothing. Here there's shade and here there's sunlight. What type of bittul? Very, 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 very strange. This question is raised by many, including the most famously, I think, by the Stipler in his opening, the second half of his opening siman on Masechta. He doesn't talk about Daf Yud Aleph, but he does talk about Daf Tes. He uses Daf Tes in the sugi, the chavatan, sort of the drive. He says, that's what the Gemara said. They only talk about rov and miut, if it's blended together. What type of blend together? There's nothing blended. You can see. Look up and see. Doesn't take any special powers of perception to notice whether there's sach there or nothing. That's problem number one. Yeah.
Are you assuming that sach there was not sach there is the same as
That's what Chama and Tzel mean. How else do you understand it?
Say, if different times during the day, maybe there's more sun, not less sun.
I think it's a systonic, it's not a diatonic. In other words, we're talking about any one snapshot in time, any one moment in time. It's true, obviously, at night, either it's all shaded or not shaded at all, if anyone think about it. But no, what we mean is, at a moment in time during the day, when the sun is more or less overhead, we'll get to that more in Daf Beis and Beis, though there are astronomically minded, will wonder about Arc 10-5 and how that relates to this again, Daf Beis and Beis, but we'll get to that when we get to that. It means the sun is overhead, and the sunlight's hitting the top of the sukkah, and some of the sunlight is getting stopped by Sach, and some is coming through the open spaces. So is there more cover? Or more uncovered. Or put it slightly differently, the Gemara later on talks about this a little bit. is there more, if you look at the ground, is it mostly sunny or mostly shady? They're not exactly the same, Gar points out, but they're pretty much the same thing. Yeah?
So in this case, you wouldn't quantify it based on volume.
Well, not volume, it's area. Yeah. Right. It's a two-dimensional question. Right, yeah.
So if you have a tree that...
Akiva?
Yeah, that has a lot of shade, right? Then are you able to sit on the other part of the sukkah?
So I keep asking a good question, which is going to come up a little bit, another cup of blood in. Sometimes you could say one part of the sukkah is taka too covered by puzzle stuff. That area is possible, but I might still be able to see a different part of the sukkah as being separate.
Is it possible the whole spot?
Right, so it might not possible the whole thing. If I can identify an area which has kosher schach, is not covered by a tree or a overhanging roof, and that piece alone has enough walls and schach and space, so I can say, forget about everything else, this is my kosher sukkah. But to the extent that's a single unit, right, if it covers too much, it may knock everything out. Yeah.
Why not we say that it counts as being mixed up?
I'm sorry?
Not that we said it's mixed up because a tree likes schach but allows more sun than shade. And I can just push it down on the sukkah. But how is that mixed?
Oh, it means I take tree branch. I've cut tree branches on top of my sukkah. Then there are some live tree, dead tree branches on top of my sukkah. Then there's live tree branches that are still attached to tree. So if I take those branches, live branches, and I push them down and jam them into the rest of my schach, so now it's all one big mishkabob on top of my sukkah. And just lots of branches. Most of the branches are kosher because they're cut. Some branches are not kosher because they're still alive. Ephraim?
Why is it not
because it's not b'tarovus. The whole notion of bittul is to have a blend, and in this blend, whatever the source for Bittul Barov is, the miut, that Ram uses this language in a slightly different context, nevad ba'otza miuto. So it loses identity. I have all this stuff mixed together, and it becomes one big blob, so then I'll say, look, it loses identity to the rope. What do you mean?
Are these just based on being able to see it? I mean, anything that you're able to see can't be
a thing? If it's identifiable, it could be, post can discuss, let's say it's identifiable in other ways. Let's say I have oil, tray for oil, fell into soup. The soup is warm. The oil got mixed in, and now I just have a pot of chicken soup that tastes extra good because there's a little bit of lard, pig fat that got mixed in. It's all mixed in. So let's say it's a very small amount, small enough that it could be, but ought to be bottled by ratio, but if I let the soup cool, the fat will rise to the top. That's a discussion in postgame. Is that called nikar, or is it not called nikar? Things like that, where there is a way to, I could make it. Distinct. Stufferable will make it distinct. Good question, Kim? Kim, pop us.
Technicality, what do you think in a lot of cases number one, if it was possible to be a subcomma to push a branch down, and number two, if it was not possible to just like cut it off? Because by pushing it down, you're kind of like messing up the growth in that area anyways, because it could snap off. And also,
that's a fair point. The Gemara doesn't recommend that you ought to be chovet. The Gemara says, in a case where one was chovet, A. B, you're right that one, if it's dangerous, you shouldn't be sitting that sukkah. But remember, we're not necessarily talking about an 80-year-old oak tree. We may also be talking about a young sapling that barely just reaches over the top of the sukkah, but is alive in their branches. And in that case, no one, it's softer, more supple, less likely to snap. And if it does snap, there isn't enough mass to really cause damage. And that's also probably the most like, if you're talking about this 80-year-old oak tree, you're going to have a really hard time. Forget about what's going to happen, is how are you even getting the branches down? And it's going to be pretty meager. I mean, presumably, the case we're talking about, you have a young tree. That's what I would imagine. You're right. It won't. When it's relevant, it's relevant. When it's not relevant, it's not relevant. But in a case, when you have a live tree, you manage to successfully be chobated into the overhanging branches into the schach, and you're right, in a way that's not dangerous. So the Gemara says, fine, and it's a miut, live tree, rove, you know, we'll cut branches, go. So that's problem number one. There's another problem with Rashi. That problem is the problem with the beginning of Rashi. The beginning of Rashi, that Be'ezim and Aleph, Rashi says, the reason why Chamas and Ritzilah says Pachol is because the schach, or the shade, is batel to the what's it called, to the open space. So the question is, that explanation does not seem to hold water. It's not a sufficient explanation. It's not true. It's not batel. What type of bitel? It's nikar. It's not true. It's just not true. L'chaorah, it's just not true. On the other hand, as we said yesterday, if you then turn your attention to Daf Yudbeis, there we see a contrast. The Rashi Yud Aleph presents us with a contrast to the beginning of Rashi Yud Aleph. He's both places seem bitul, but we understand how it works in Yud Aleph, and we understand that base. The Rashi and Daf Yud Beis presents a contrast to the end of our Rashi, because on Yud Beis also Rashi had that line that the sukkah and the schach is a definitional element of the sukkah. It's called the sukkah because of schach. A sukkah is a schach thing. And the other problem was we understood why it was necessary. He's explaining why, even though you need walls, you need schach, but when the Torah gives a definition of what a sukkah is made of, it's only talking about what a schach is made of. You have to have walls, but the walls can be made of anything. So Rashi says, yeah, the reason for that is because Hashem has schach and mikra sukkah. Okay. Here, though, it seems like it's unnecessary to say that. It's too much heavy artillery. The reason why chamasim rumitzilasa is puzzle is because it's not a sukkah unless it's schach. You don't need that. The first half of Rashi seems like it wasn't helping. It's not enough. It's not true. Sound like they don't understand how Rashi could deploy it until here. The second half of Rashi seems like it's too much. It's unnecessary. So number one, one kasha in the Reisha Rashi, one kasha in the Sefer Rashi, one kasha based on contrast we have Rashi Daf Yud Aleph, second kasha based on contrast from Rashi Daf Yud Beis, one kasha is at the beginning of Reisha Rashi seems insufficient, it's not enough to explain, and the second kasha, the Sefer of Rashi seems unnecessary, it's too much. Or if you like, one kasha on lashon, one kasha on content, and one kasha on lashon. The first kasha is it's against the din. Rashi assuming that bitul applies, that's not the din. And Rashi himself says it elsewhere. And then the sugya daf, this type of one side sugya daf tes. It's not the din seems incorrect. Bitul does not apply in such a case. The second kasha is really a kasha on lashon. Why do you throw in this fancy line? What does that mean? So in the 4 minutes that remain, I want to give you a nugget. We'll take questions afterwards. I want to give you a nugget, and we'll begin to unpack it now. Chazar over the weekend, we'll continue to unpack this more thoroughly, really netter on Sunday. I should tell you that first kasha is this type of discusses extensively. And we'll talk about how the terrors that he gives. It occurred to me that his terrors ought to answer the second question as well. He does not raise the second question. I was very excited to find there are Achronim who do raise it. And when the Rebbeim of the Beis HaLevi, Shlomo Kluger, in the Chacham Shlomo on the side of Shulchan Aruch, raises at length the second kasha, what's Tal Shema Sukkah Kasach, and gives it Taurus is very similar to the way the Sefer presents it, as Rank said. The nugget is as follows. The Gemara in Nazir presents us with a rule of Rubo Kekulo. By Nazir specifically, the Zordin, they have to cut off, you can't even leave two hairs. It's cut off everything. It sounds like normally we're not special hairs like us, it would be enough to cut off most of your hair. Or, what's another example of Rubo Kekulo? You add the Seder, you drink roe over the coast, it's good enough. Rubo Kekulo. I didn't drink all the wine, I drank most of the wine. Or let's say, Mishnah's beginning of Chulin. You shecht in an animal, you have to shecht the trachea of the esophagus, the two simonim, the windpipe and the flute. Shecht in a bird, you have to shecht at least one of those two. Mishnah says, you don't have to shecht the whole thing. Rubo Kekulo. You shecht 60% of the trachea, 60% of the esophagus, you're good to go. Rubo Kekulo. Now, I ask you. Is it Vitarovis? Or is it Niker? You can see this part of the cup is gone and the bottom third of the cup is still full of wine. Here, two-thirds of the trachea is cut and one-third is still there. And had there not been a special Xeris Akasav, you look at the Nazir's head, it's 80% shaven and 20% still here. That's incredibly Niker. And the Stifler also points out the Gemara is a special drasha for Rubu Kekulo, not based on whatever we've shown him elsewhere, right? That Acharav Lahatos is probably the source for Vitel Barov. It's like a new din with its own pasuk. This is not Vitel. There's no Tyrovis at all. What type of Tyrovis? Stifler has the Rachach Mashal more or less says this. Stifler says this bang straight on. He says, this is not, there's when things are mixed together, there's a tarovis, talk about bitzel. I think Ephraim may have been touching this before, and please give me another 30 seconds. If I have like kosher and treif food mixed together, I can't eat any one bit of it. There's no unit of, I'm not trying to figure out, there's a unit of food, and every bit of food is treif. So it's just stuff, mass, that's mixed together. If the tarovis is bottle, if not, nah. But sometimes, the question is, there's a halach defined unit, a thing. I have to figure out what's the label, the status of the unit as a whole. Is the cup drunk or not drunk? Is the simen, the pipe, cut or uncut? Is a nazir, we're not special to ask a custom, is a nazir shaven or unshaven? Reb Chaim writes in Sanhedrin, what's the psak of the basin? There was a dispute, but ultimately, what's the verdict of the court? No individual dying has a verdict. The court as a unit has a verdict. So in terms of the status of a unit, that will be determined by the status of row of its elements. That's not bitzel. That's when you have a status, that a chal Hashem, a status, a label, that's applied to the whole unit. That's a sugya nazir, rubo kekulo. The row of elements determine what's the status of a unit. In a case of the status is about the unit as a whole. I don't care about this millimeter of the trachea was a cut or not. Was a trachea cut or not? As a thing, as a unit. Is this a sukkah or is this not a sukkah? Is it, and that's what, it's not just about is this area covered, is this area covered, is this covered. Is this a sukkah or not? This structure, sukkah means it's shaded. That's a chal Hashem, that's a label on this whole structure. Is it a sukkah or is it not a sukkah? That's a label whole structure because Hashem, Haschach, Nikra, sukkah. It's not just that I need to have schach. I need to know what's the identity of this unit, this structure. Well, if I need to figure that out, Rubo Kekulo. Oh, Sacharon pointed out, even though Rashi used language of the Tabarov, it's hard to imagine that he really meant Bitzel Barov. Sounds like what he really meant, it may be operating a little bit like Bitzel Barov, but this is not the same as Daf Yud Aleph. This is Ruach Kekulo. Because unlike Daf Yud Aleph, there is Schach. Is the question, is Schach kosher or not? So that's just a regular Bitzel Barov question. What's this stuff on top? But here it's a question of, what is this entire unit, this structure? Is it a sukkah, is it not a sukkah? Since Al Shem HaSchach Nikra Sukkah, the question of whether it's mesukach at all or not is a question of the status of the whole thing. And once it's a question of the status of the thing as a unit, then we're in Rubik Kulam land. And then we have to figure out, as most of the square centimeters on top are covered, then this is overall a covered item, a covered space. If it's mostly uncovered, then as a whole, this structure is not called a covered space. And that the two kashas actually end up answering each other. There's plenty more to say about this. Enjoy your lunch. I will see you all, my Apple will see you all at 108 in the Beis HaMedrash downstairs, and I will see you all at 6:30, Mitzvah Shem, in the annex across from the Beis HaMedrash downstairs. Whichever one has best air conditioning. Feel free to bring your supper along if you like. And bring an open mind.